You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're meeting two candidates today for Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. Southport is a 225-year-old city that spans less than 4 square miles and sits near the confluence of the Cape Fear River and the Atlantic Ocean in Brunswick County. In 2010, the U.S. Census Bureau pegged the population at slightly more than 2,800. Today, the Bureau estimates about 3,600 people live in Southport. The city was founded as Smithville in 1792. In 1887, the name changed to Southport. There are two open seats in this first ward on Southport's Board of Aldermen that carry four-year terms. One, whose term expires this year, Mary Ellen Poole, is not seeking re-election. Karen Mosteller faces the other expiring term. She is running again for her seat, and we will meet her next week. Joining us now is Mark Spencer. According to his Facebook page, he's a Southport native. He ran for this seat in 2015, losing to Todd Coring. He works as a real estate agent with his own company, Lightkeeper, and he says that over the last 30 years, he's worked on various municipal, county, state, and U.S. Senate campaigns. Mark Spencer, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you.
And you can ask your own question of Mark Spencer on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. So as we began with Robert Tucker, we'll begin with you. Big picture, what's your long-term vision for Southport?
We've got a great tradition, culture in Southport. It was a very tight-knit community as I was growing up, and you grow to love it. You become attached, and so I want to take control and not limit things, but we need to watch our growth. We do have to face the future. There is no turning back. There is no 70s, 80s isolated community anymore. The secret's got out, and we've got to deal with that. So we've got to generate some kind of a master plan, some kind of a direction to go. We've got some ordinance, and we've got some restrictions, CAMA use plan type things that we have to deal with. But there is no direction. Seems like we create a project, we table it, and then we move on and create something else, never finishing anything. And that's one of my goals.
We have a caller, Randy from Southport, called and asked, how do you plan to address the excessive spending of leasing vehicles to the Southport Municipal Services, such as the fire department?
We've got to control our fleet management. We've had a lot of spending. There are a lot of new vehicles out in service, police department, public works, fire department. We've got to make sure we sort of incrementally turn over our fleet management and things of that nature. So I'd keep an eye on it. We've got to control our costs. We've sort of gotten out of control where our fund balance has gotten a little bit out of whack, and we've got to tighten the reins a little bit.
And where do you think specifically some of that spending has gone out of control? What areas do you think that the Board of Aldermen has authorized spending on that you wouldn't have if you had a seat?
Studies. There are too many studies and not enough completion. We study something, we analyze it, then we set it aside. We never really follow through. And there's just too much money spent on passing the buck.
Mark Spencer, you ran 2 years ago.
Yes.
And lost to Todd Coring. It was by a lot, by 49%. Why another run at this? Why do you want to be on the board?
The original run, I'm a political science student by nature. I grew up in this process since about 13 or 14 years old. And I've just been raised in this environment, not by my mother and father. My mother is avidly against me running. But it's something that is in my own heart, something that I've seen over the years. Mr. Coring had no opponent, and I believe that everyone has to have an opponent. There has to be a mandate. It's one of those fancy words I learned in school that I never get to use. But you have to earn your spot. You cannot just have a free walk. Todd Coring and I are good friends. We grew up together. His older sister and brother, we're all friends. We played together as children, and I have nothing against Todd. And he's a very popular individual. I want to be like Todd when I grow up. So it truly was not anything other than political process. And
you threw your name in the hat 2 years ago because no one else was going to do that.
There was no one there. And understandably, he's a popular candidate, and it was a great experience.
You say that you have been interested in politics since you were a teenager, and you worked on all kinds of different levels of campaigns, including Dozier Memorial Hospital.
Exactly.
Tell us about some of the campaigns. You've also worked on U.S. Senate campaigns. Which ones?
Well, I started with a gentleman who's to my left in my neighborhood, Mr. Tucker, your previous candidate. He actually lives to the right of my mother on Cape Fear Drive.
And it's a small
town. And so to my left was a gentleman named Chuck Roof. And he was very smart, probably smarter than the people could handle. And he ran for a board seat and invited me into that process. He was also a great mentor. Something I'd like to say about Southport is that I grew up with a lot of mentors. I'm not sitting here alone. I'm here because of a lot of hard work of a lot of good people, and I'm trying to do them honor in what I'm working on here. But Mr. Roof, he ran for office. He lost. And then I sort of enjoyed working at the polls, and it was strange for a 13-year-old, 14-year-old to be there. But that was a good experience.
What are some of the campaigns you've worked on in which the candidate has won that you're proud of?
My neighbor is Mike and Mary Easley is probably one of the greatest experiences of my life. Mike Easley, no matter what anyone wants to say, is a gentleman, a Southern gentleman, and he taught me, he tried to teach me nothing but good things. And as a young person...
Former governor of North Carolina.
So Mike and Mary were truly friends to me. I started off cutting their grass. I turned into a general laborer, and then I got the honor of driving him from place to place as he ran for attorney general, governor, U.S. Senate against Harvey Gantt. And got to experience some, as a child, a young person, I had the ride of a lifetime. Saw Mr. Easley walk in our neighborhood the other day, and I told him I was running for office. And I told him, if you can do it, I know I can do it. So he laughed, as he would. He didn't diminish me in any way. It's that belief in yourself that Southport has generated for me. So I don't have a lot of answers. I don't know all the answers to the future. I just know what the result will be. I know the people that it will affect. I know the little old ladies who are on retirement incomes that own a home and are trying to maintain maybe their husbands have passed. And life is not easy for them facing the new world. And that's who I'm here for.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting two of the three candidates running for a seat on Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. We'll meet the third candidate, Karen Mosteller, next week. With us now, Mark Spencer. He's a real estate agent, and he owns his own real estate company, Lightkeeper. You can ask your own question during this live Thursday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. If you win a seat on the board, where do you see the electrical grid going? What's the future of that? Does it make sense for Southport to keep that under its control or maybe pass it over to Brunswick Electric?
We made a bad deal a long time ago. And again, I've been around all the leaders. I've heard the conversations over the years. And we've made a bad deal and had to live with it for a long time. We paid exorbitant costs. Other municipalities are catching up with us, like Oak Island and things of that nature. I would probably let Brunswick Electric and the larger establishment run that. They're doing our billing now. Prices seem to be a little bit more under control. But I think that would be a possible way to go. I don't like to make a quick decision on anything. It gets me in trouble.
You say that ecotourism is an important part of Southport's economy. What is the Board of Aldermen? What role would the Board of Aldermen play in facilitating that or helping it expand?
There's some property that there were discussions of turning in old plants into recreational areas where you would have kayaking. As a child, I never knew what a kayak was. As I grew up and got older, I came back. Some friends introduced me to kayaking, and it was like a whole new world. And so there's some good to that. We don't want to wear out our resources. We don't, and I am for ecotourism. Going to NC State, I had a good friend who sort of taught me a lot about the environment. And he was an architect and influenced me heavily. So I've sort of learned crazy things like building homes with straw bale. And those kind of things, and just sort of open my mind up to new ideas. We've got to make some money somewhere.
There isn't really a clear tree preservation guideline in the city of Southport. We know that the Southport Forestry Committee has been working on this. They've submitted a proposal. Have you read the proposal?
I'm not. Lately, I've been overwhelmed with family situations, but I understand what they're going after. There is no tree ordinance. We do need to address it. I'll tell you, if you mess with a tree in Southport, you're going to be in trouble. they're hard feelings, and the people that don't forget. The oak trees are very valuable to us. I played on the Indian Trail tree, if you know what that is. They're icons for us. They're difficult to deal with underground. The roots are very large. I have an interest in putting power lines and things under the ground, but it's going to be tough, and we've got to make sure that it's financially feasible, I guess.
What would it take to get some of those power lines underground?
Oh, that's not my department, but I would like to see some options and see the prices on them. I'm a numbers person. I'm mathematics. I'm not in that profession, so I'd want to have some of the employees with the city, our public works director, Mr. Fox, talking with our planning director, Thomas Lloyd. He's a Wolfpack graduate. I'm very happy to have him on the board and go Wolfpack tonight.
We know that Southport has faced some pretty serious flooding problems on Bay Street. That's near the waterfront, the Yacht Basin. There are a number of restaurants down that way. And Bruce Oakley, the new city manager, is undertaking his first big project as city manager to solve that problem. Does the Board of Aldermen need to start planning for sea level rise? Is that something?
We see it on every lunar high tide. They've done temporary fix on the Yacht Basin, and there needs to be a raising of the level out there. There will be the restaurants will have to do their part. It's trouble. we've got some issues to fight with, and you can't beat Mother Nature. We're definitely going to have to put some focus on that.
Are there other parts of Southport where sea level rise is becoming a factor or could be a factor?
Well, my general home little block, we have some riverfront properties that are getting wore by erosion. Along River Drive area. I've got some good friends in the River Drive area that the water comes up into their riverfront properties, and it's a concern.
Southport has avoided installing meters for parking, but is that a source of revenue that the city is possibly overlooking?
We would have to have some kind of a pass where the residents would never pay that. We've got to give the residents their. We have to take care of the residents. Everyone loves tourism. I love people coming and visiting and admiring my town, but the residents are getting wore down by fighting traffic. In the summertime, we can't go eat at the restaurants because it's an hour or two wait. It's But in the wintertime, they're glad to see us. We've got to give the residents priority in our government. There are people who have lived there all their lives and given everything to the city, and we need to give it back.
What about the regulation of golf carts? That's something of a sticky wicket because you want tourists to be happy.
Great.
But how would you approach that?
I personally have got a golf cart if I could keep it running. A great idea there. It's enjoyable to ride around and to sort of feel the breeze and slow down the pace. We've got to keep it off the main roads, but maybe give some priority parking. They don't take up as much space. Maybe some charging stations, things of that nature. I like the golf carts. I'm a golfer by nature, so I like riding in a golf cart.
And Mark Spencer, that's our time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks also to Robert Tucker and Ray Hunter Havens. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast. You can find it on the WHQR app. Or just tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 2. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.